Blog Talk Radio.
And now a brief message from our sponsor. Reality Books presents Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. The author is Marshall Washington Cabinus Abui, the senior great-grandson of Booker T. Washington. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, a message that will change America. Buy your copy today. $20 is all it costs, plus $5 postage and handling. To order your copy of the book written by the great-grandson of Booker T. Washington, Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, send a text message. Include your full name and how many books you would like to purchase. Send to area code 706-399-5006. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, a message that will change America. Send your text message, including your full name and how many books you would like to purchase, to area code 706-399-5006.
Well, good evening. There's some interference on the line. It's hopefully not happening at the studio end, and hopefully it will clear up in the next minute or so. If not, what I will do is dial out, log out, and dial back in, see if we can get rid of this interference that I'm hearing. But anyway, welcome to Booker T. Washington Speaks, African American Family Room Forum. I see Ms. Piak is already here with us, and Ms. Piak, if you'll just be patient with you for a minute, we're going to see if we can't get a better connection. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to log out and dial back in, and maybe we can get a better connection. So please bear with me. I think it's back there at the home service, and that's something that I'm just going to have to see if we can fix. So bear with me. I'll be right back. Thank you. Well, I still hear a little bit of interference. Hopefully we can get through this. Okay, well, I hope that we cleared up the interference. We'll see how it works. But anyway, welcome, Ms. Bianchi. I hope that you and your loved ones had a nice Thanksgiving. And we did here on this end. And we want to extend our preliminary greetings for a happy upcoming holiday season. But I'm going to announce our topic. But before I do, let me just ask you, sir, how are you doing this post-Thanksgiving Saturday evening?
Oh, Mr. Weiss, I'm doing fine. Happy to be an American.
I am, too. You know, I am so happy to be an American wherever I've traveled. And as I've told you before, because we've been over this ground a little bit in the past, and I've traveled to all five, I'll put it like this, five of the seven continents. The only ones I have visited are Australia and Antarctica. And wherever I've been, most of my travels, in fact, all of my travels outside of America, have been in the auspices or through the auspices of the U.S. Armed Forces, in which I was proud to serve for 30 years. And wherever I've been, even when I was traveling and had my wife located with me for tours of duty, I was always so happy to get orders to get back to America. There's no place like home. And so I totally agree with you. Well, you probably have seen the topic, but for the audiences out there in internet land and those who may come on in a few minutes, hopefully that will join us on the podcast, as they call the telephone conference, which we have. The topic is, what lessons can the African-American community learn from Thanksgiving night's tragic killing of an African-American U.S. Army soldier at a shopping mall by an Alabama police officer? And I just added on to that, not to make it a major issue, but 850 people have been shot in the spelling error on the marquee, but have been shot and killed by police this year. Many of them young African American males. So the main point is not that note, the end, but the main point is, what lessons can African Americans learn, or can the African American community learn from this tragic event? I'll just give our audience, you may know the background, but just to give our audience some background. This young, I believe it's about 21-year-old Army soldier, was still going through training, so apparently he was just on leave for the break to enjoy Thanksgiving. And he was at this shopping mall in Alabama, and some altercation erupted in which he apparently was involved, but one of the people had a gun and began to shoot girls, I think. One was 18 and the other was 12. They're both in satisfactory condition, like expected to recover, I believe. But in the melee that took place, the police officers responded. These were police officers that were working security at this galleria, this shopping mall. And they approached the scene, and they shot the young man, the soldier, who did not have a weapon, apparently. The one that had the weapon fled and dropped the weapon, or a weapon. It's circumstantial. We don't know if that was his weapon yet. But a weapon was found in one of the stores in the mall, not far away from the scene. But no weapon was found near the young man that was killed by the police. So that obviously is very tragic that he was shot as a suspect that may have been considered to be a dangerous, but he wasn't apparently dangerous, but he was just at the wrong place at the wrong time, as they say. And the other irony is that, from what I read in the news report, his father is a local police officer in that town. I have to check on that some more to verify that, but that's what my initial reading of the news told me. And so that's just really an all-around tragedy, no matter how you look at it. But the question is what lessons can the African American community learn, you know, from this tragic killing? So I'm going to go ahead. We haven't got any others that have joined us yet, Ms. Bianchi, and just so you know, for planning purposes, we're gonna actually just go for 1 hour or maybe less tonight, depending if we get some other callers, because once you and I have pretty much exhausted our thoughts on it, I'm not going to just keep the conversation going to go over the same ground if we've covered it. But for now, I'd like to get your response on that topic. What do you think?
Well, I don't know much on it.
I don't know what happened, who was involved in this or who was involved in that. One thing that's needed is training. Why would you shoot somebody that was apparently, I don't know if he was apparently unarmed or was he given instruction? I don't know. But training of employees in that capacity is a must, should be a dedicated policy that they should follow in order to pose liability onto them. So I really just don't know what the details of it.
Yeah, okay. I've just given you an overview based on the news report that I read. And, of course, the investigation is still either in progress, or the details of the police department's internal investigation have not released to the public yet. At least I hadn't seen anything as recently as a couple of hours ago. So we'll probably learn more about the police officer's motivation for firing shots, deadly shots at this young man. But you're right. I certainly agree with the fact that anyone that has the legal authority to discharge a firearm in the performance of their duty needs to be very well trained, because you can't bring a life back once it's gone. And so before someone pulls that trigger, they need to absolutely make sure that there's a legitimate reason to be doing that. And just because somebody says that they are afraid that some people might get hurt, environment is not, in my opinion, I'm not saying that's what that police officer said at all, but I'm just saying that would be a likely, you know, excuse that someone might make. That certainly would not be a justification for shooting the wrong person. And, you know, I've been trained extensively in the military, you know, came close to being a certified expert rifleman, but I did qualify on the pistol, but I'm a sharpshooter with a standard military rifle. And one thing I know is we practice on individual targets. You know, in our training, we're trained to shoot at a specific, you know, person represented by, you know, a silhouette. And so you look at who you're shooting at, and you shoot for that person. And you train to be able to shoot and hit what you're shooting at. So first thing, of course, is to determine whether that person is a threat, not just to go in there just shooting at anybody, and especially if you haven't ascertained that person has a weapon or something that can be of danger to you or the ones around that person. Apparently this situation just was out of hand from the beginning when the police approached, because the person who actually started the trouble was one that did not get hurt. He got away. So again, I agree. But listen, I'm going to tell you what. I wouldn't want to, you know, prolong the discussion where there's not a lot of information we could talk about. You know, we could talk about the problem in general. But that's not really what I wanted to talk about. We know that there's a real problem. We've talked about it on this show over the last 2 years a number of times. And I don't want to accuse this police officer unjustly and say he profiled this young man and shot him because he was a black target, because that wouldn't be right. I don't know why he shot him. That hasn't come out yet. So we'll leave that alone. Because, you know, there's a big problem, though, that I can take the fact that here is a young man in a shopping mall. I'm talking about the one that got away, who had a firearm, and for whatever reason, he went off and shooting people.
He can stand to be charged with the death also.
Yeah, I realize depending that.
Depending on all the circumstances.
Yeah, of course. But, you know, the fact is that once they catch him, and hopefully, and I'm only saying because I don't want to see another go down the drain, but this is a violent individual. I mean, this person might be hiding out somewhere waiting for the law enforcement personnel to charge at him so he can get in a gunfight. He might be one of those desperados. He may never go to court. He does go to court. You're right. He absolutely could be charged. But regardless of what sentence they give him, you know, because for that, they're not going to give him the death sentence. They might give him a long prison sentence as being accessory to manslaughter. But he's not the one that killed the boy, regardless if he said the situation.
Yeah, I ain't taking nothing from what the police officer done. But you know the old issue of cause and effect. And the gentleman that ran off apparently caused something, and the effects is what they are. And people don't look at things like that for some reason. You know, it's all sorts of cases out here where things go down. You know, on the good side, there in St. Louis County, two police officers were fired for lying in the incident where they was chasing a car that ran a red light, and they bumped his bumper of the vehicle and caused it to lose control and hit a tree. And the police turned their lights off and kept going. And the report that they gave wasn't like it really happened. And a friend of mine, Zaki Baruti, and his organization went around the neighborhood, started canvassing, found video footage of a business that videoed it. And, you know, they let the police officer give their statements and so forth. And come to find out that they was lying, and Captain Bellman fired them. Now it opens them up for civil lawsuits. Two white officers. So, you know, that's good and bad. But these individuals, like these guys that were running from the police in their car, when the police turn their lights on, they should pull over. They should either pull over because they're being pursued, or pull over and let the emergency vehicle go on by. And then again, those two officers, whoever were driving, the two of them together, they shouldn't have lied and shouldn't have done what they done. And being that they aren't supposed to pursue vehicles unless it's a serious crime, and I would consider running a red light a serious crime to me, but the complications are what they are. So I would be interested to see, you know, at some point, what was the motive behind this police officer arriving on the scene. I've seen that before. I've seen another police officer get shot, a black one, when a white police officer arrived on the scene. This black cop was standing amongst other white cops. He just arrived on the scene, opened the door, and shot. So there's some strange things that go on there. Some people don't deserve to be in the capacity that they're in for whatever reason. They just don't deserve to be there. And I wish it was a simple procedure on how you can weed these persons out, but apparently there is not one at this present time.
Well, I just like to chime in and say the same thing is true in the U.S. Armed Forces. Now, I served in the Army as well as in the Navy. I retired after 24 years service in the Navy, but I also served in the Army and spent two tours in Korea up on the combat front. And I came in contact with some people in the Army that should have been weeded out before they even got through basic training. In fact, I just remembered when I first returned to the service and I was going through reentry processing, there were two guys who had been in Vietnam, who had been in the Army, and they had decided to join the Navy. And I rode with them on a weekend jaunt from San Diego, the training base where I was stationed with them. We went to, we went to Los Angeles. And during that trip, those guys were talking about they couldn't wait to be deployed so they could kill some people. And I said to myself, these guys should not even be allowed to be in the service because they got messed up, obviously, somewhere along the line, probably in combat over in Vietnam, and they got a problem. But they were allowed to reenlist because they had, you know, the kind of record that allowed them to get back in service. But they didn't need to be positioned even in the Navy where they were going to have access to firearms because Navy personnel carry firearms on different posts as well. You know, typically a Navy petty officer at some point or another stationed on the ship or maybe a shore station will be armed with a .45 caliber pistol and in some cases maybe even a rifle. And these are the wrong people to be putting the firearm in their hands. You know, I could just see those guys standing up watch on the ship, or what we call a gangway watch, to keep to repair borders. And somebody was a member of the ship's crew might be the wrong color, whatever that means, and be trying to come up on the ship to report back for duty, and then get shot by one of these nuts. But it happens, you know. You got people in all branches of the service in uniform that shouldn't be there. And the same thing, I'm sure, is true with the police force. How you protect the innocent from these kinds of people is hard to say. I don't know of any screening process that the Navy uses that could have caught these guys' mentality to be what it was. Because, yeah, a lot of people that came into the Navy, this was not long after the Vietnam War had ended. It ended around 74, and this was in 77. So you had people that were coming into the Navy that had been in the Army, and a lot of them probably were messed up. But what do you do? Because they had served in Vietnam, wasn't a deal breaker to keep them from coming in the Navy, but something should have been done to check them out. And the same thing with a lot of these police that are coming from Afghanistan and Iraq and other war zones. You know, a lot of these guys, because of what's happened to them, been under fire, very trigger happy. But just because somebody served in combat in Iraq or Afghanistan should not be an immediate bar to keep from becoming a police officer. So the question is, like you say, you know, what can be done? Those answers, I don't know, but there must be some way filter out these people that are so trigger happy, especially if they got a thing against black folks, and I think that needs to be taken into consideration nowadays. But then again, if they were to, I'm not trying to be facetious, Mr. Piaki, but if they were to bar every white person that had a prejudice against Negroes, they wouldn't have a whole lot of cops down south, and maybe not up north either. So again, I don't know the answer. I'm not even going to try to solve the problem tonight. I thought it would be a good topic for a conversation to kick around, but I think what we'll do, we'll just table it, and maybe I'll announce it some more during the week, and maybe we'll get some more interest in it. So next Saturday, we can bring it up again. Maybe you'll have a chance to do a little research if you like. But I think we'll just go ahead and just kind of wrap it up for tonight, unless you had some more you want to add.
No, I don't have nothing else.
Okay, well, enjoy the rest of your weekend, and it's good talking to you again. I will say this. I was out of the area of where I live last weekend and went up to Detroit, Michigan, to attend a very special banquet of an organization that I had heard about, but I never really attended any of their functions. It's called the Black Business League. It used to be the National Business League, but it used to be the National Negro Business League. My great-grandfather founded it in 1900. And they're trying to get back on their feet, trying to pump some new life into the organization. And so being that you're an African-American entrepreneur, industrial, what I would say, icon, might want to get some of your thoughts on what African-American entrepreneurs need to do to become viable. But we won't talk about that tonight. But we will probably talk about it sometime in the future. So just stand by and I'll announce it and like get some of your ideas from your years of experience in that area. Okay, well,
okay,
thanks
I'll
a lot. Okay, we look forward to talking to you. We'll be back next week. God willing, same time, same station. All right, God bless. Take care. Good night, and good night to all who've been listening. Those of you who have been listening via the internet, as you notice, we have cut the program a little short tonight because we have a topic that we would like to get more participation. So we're going to resume it next week. So join us again next week at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, the same internet station. If you want to call in and participate, the number will be posted on my Facebook page, Booger Washington Senior Great Grandson. That's the name of the Facebook page, Booker Washington, T. Washington, because it won't go through. Just put Booker Washington Senior Great Grandson. Go up on my Facebook page, and you'll be able to see the number to call in if you want to call in and listen. But if you can remember this, I'll give you the number. It's 657-383-0671. Again, 657-383-0671. All right, everyone, thank you very much, and God bless you all, and good night.